and welcome to The Squeal, PIC's Swine Management Podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. We conclude our conversation on Day 1 Pig Care, discussing 24-hour staffing and enhancing inter-employee communications. Guests for our three-part series are Thomas Livestock's Steve Horton.
My name's Steve Horton. I am sow farm supervisor for Thomas Livestock.
And PIC's Kendall Weger.
I'm Kendall Weger. I work with Global Technical Services at PIC.
And Pedro Mosqueda.
My name is Pedro Mosqueda. I also work with Technical Services in PIC.
Think of an operation that you've worked with lately. Don't name them. But an operation that you've worked with lately, and kind of give us an overview of some of the challenges that they faced, and then how did we help them move from point A to point B to make those improvements. This is a case study, an audio case study.
I have one. So overall, we could reduce around 3 to 5 points in pre-mortality on that system. Initially, the communication in the system was a challenge. So the labor, although they were motivated to do a good job, this challenge in communication was making them to have a hard time to understand why they were doing the things they were asked to do. So after a plan about the protocol that they should do, what they should accomplish, more than once we went there and we trained them about the reasons they were doing every little thing that they were doing there, and after that it made sense to them. And in the daily basis, the labor needs to make small decisions, and after they have the principles in mind, they have more chance to make better decisions on whatever is happening during the day and to do a better job on that. So I think it was very important that, as in our PIC side, it is not always that only one visit or one training will solve or will accomplish all the success that we need. So it is a process. We need to go there, we need to train, we need to talk to people. Later on, it could be 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, we need to do a follow-up to see what the labor found and what are their challenges. So we can support them and do some tweaks accordingly to what they have found and what they have been doing to continue improving that indicator.
And it's interesting because you're really talking about a procedure which is very easily adaptable. It's a matter of whether or not we have the willingness and the time to begin that incorporation process. And then the challenge is the follow-up. I mean, are we doing that and are we making sure that they understood what was expected of them and why? I think, Steve, and I assume that, Steve, that has to be critical in your operation, that people know why you've asked them to do that.
It is. As they know why, they know that every single job is important. Towards communication, one thing that I have seen in units, I've seen things start to get a little lax. And I went out to the farm, and during our lunchtime, I noticed that in this day and age, every single person was on their cell phone. And we were not having the communication of what a manager usually does of, how are you setting on your job? How are you doing with the processing? How are you doing with the gloving? And are things going well? And once we actually asked the people to take half of their lunch hour in talking, and whether it be about work or whether it talking be about people, I think it has something to do with people retention too, because everybody needs to be feeling a part, and they need to be feeling like they're an important part, and that their voice is worth something, that people are going to be listening. And as you do that, that's where you get that synergy that can make things continue to improve. We worked with the farms. We asked them to really work on this, and we saw a 2.5 to 3 point climb in improvement there. So we were very pleased as we really tried to focus on that. And it's something that we have to do often, because people aren't married to their phones anymore. So
it's easy to fall back into an old habit. So do you literally ask them to shut the phone off, or do they put them in a bucket? How do you enforce a half-hour phone-free zone?
We have the leaders help with it, and we have we've actually just set it up that we have two different lunch times. We start at 10 o'clock, and they get an hour's lunch until 11. The other half of the crew comes in at 11 and to 12. So we try to make it to where, in case we're going to be talking to something about something to the whole crew, we have the second hour, half hour of the first group where they are not allowed to use their phones, and then the first half hour for the second group. And that has worked well for the manager being able to communicate with everybody. And
bet that really increased the volume level in your lunchroom.
You know, at first everybody was quiet, but then it did. It got them to where they were talking, and it's amazing the things that they started bringing up, and it's like they were new people when they've been at the units for quite a while.
Question for each other. Is there something that you would like to know why they do something or how they do something or what they would suggest?
I've got a question for Steve. We see a lot of farms that are really trying to get extra hours in, whether that's extended care for the day one or 24-hour certain nights a week. And I think, Steve, you guys do a great job of this. My question is, it's a big investment, and we see a lot of farms that maybe fail or don't see the improvements in performance in order to make that investment worthwhile. So how do you ensure you're getting that return on investment and you're seeing the performance you want and that your employees know what they're doing and are getting those results for you?
Very good question. You know, as we started trying to do the extended care and do 24 hours around the clock, we knew that it would be a challenge. We knew that at times, you know, a lot of us have put people in and covered those hours, and we figured, started talking about it, and felt like it was expectations. And if you expect that person that's coming in and working the extra hours to get laundry done, then you're looking at the wrong thing. You're not looking at the right priorities. So we have them focus on priorities and understanding that the number one job is taking care of the sows and making sure they're hitting that 30-minute window in taking care of those animals and making sure that they're checked on that often. If, you know, as soon as we establish priorities and let them know that they don't have to get things ready for people showering in the next day, they don't have to, you know, go check feed systems. Those things we need to prepare the other crew to do and have done, so that their priority, number one, is making sure that those sows are taken care of as they're having the baby pigs. And that's where we made the progress to make it worthwhile. And it comes out very, very obvious in the pigs you save. It also comes out very, very obvious in our breed back and the lessened amount that we have to cull because of farming complications.
Pedro, question, comment? Anything that we've missed?
And there's one thing that I would like to reinforce is about the micro environment. I have the impression that we did not talk a lot about that, and it is very important, considering that providing the right environment for the piglet, the right temperature, is not only good for the comfort of the piglet, but also controlling the premium mortality. As we know, the most common cause of premium mortality, it is crush, right? And when the piglets have the proper micro environment, they will prefer to be there. They will not go too close to the mom to warm up. They will be in that environment, proper environment. And many times I will see a lot of opportunities on that. When you get a temperature to measure the temperature, when you get a thermometer to measure the temperature of the mats, frequently you see 85, sometimes you see 120 degrees Fahrenheit, you know. There are some practices that can be done. There's a producer that I work with. In the room preparation, the people will come, will measure the temperature. Until the time that that mat it is in the right temperature, they will not write down the temperature. So let's say they in that farm, they have 92 to 95 as target. If they find 93, they will record in the cell card that temperature. That's good to go. In case if it is 85, they will adjust the heat lamp to get that temperature. So it is small details that I think that makes a lot of difference, and the micro environment management is a huge one to control the survivability of the piglets.
Do you see that, Steve, at your operation where there is a daily adjusting of those lamps that you're using or mats?
We do have a daily adjustment, but it's done with our system. Our heat lamps are on a creep sensor, so it keeps it at the temperature we desired for them, and then we actually use curves on our ventilation system to adjust where we're wanting, but we need to go in there and look at that all the time and make sure that it's hitting where we want it on those temperatures, because too cold will chill pigs and they use too much energy, and too warm, then the pigs will spread out and get many more laid on. So definitely a very good point to look at and to think about how we can keep it right and where we need to adjust. You know, that's also where you get your, you know, a sensor variance alarm is something that I think is very helpful, so that you can go in there. And the thing is, we just have to train people to pay attention to it and see what's wrong and keep that comfortable for the baby pigs and the sows.
Yeah, because I can imagine walking into the room and, oh yeah, we're okay. I mean, we know we've been in and out of there enough. We know it's fine. But those micro environments, as we said earlier, without some method of measuring, there's no way to know if they're where they need to be. In the operations where they're handled individually, those people need thermometers.
And many times, even small things will play a role. For example, the brand of the bulb can change the temperature that for the microenvironment. How dirty the bulb is can change. The different types of lamp we have in the industry, some that are made from plastic, some are metal, so it can change as well. Different wattages of the bulbs. So it is always important to watch out these differences to have the process procedure.
I wanted to touch on one more thing before we finish, because I think it's important and we didn't really discuss it, is the individual sow care and farrowing. So we talked about the feeding, but what do we need to do if that sow's sick, or how do we make sure that she's in the best condition to take care of those piglets? So I think it's important that we remember that just because she farrowed and, okay, she looks fine, maybe she isn't. So it's important to not only observe subjective thing, you know, does she look fevery? Is she a little lame? Is she off feed? But it's really important to be temping every single sow 24 hours after farrowing. And a lot of people go, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years. I know what it looks like. Well, so have I. And I've gone through and said, okay, I think these three sows have a fever and the rest don't. And you'll find, you know, four or five more that are high, you know, 100, 405, and I didn't catch it. And I feel like I have a lot of experience. So making sure that we're taking that temperature takes 2 seconds. You know, we have those quick read temperatures that are less than 10 seconds, and anybody can take a temperature. So get in there. Let's make sure that sow is healthy and okay, because if we don't catch her within 24 hours, if we wait 2-3 days, she's already lost her litter. So those piglets are not going to survive if they stay on her. We'll probably have to kick her out, find a nurse sow, and then we may not, you know, have the quality of piglet.
So I understand you to say that when you're sure that that sow's up, we'll say during that first 24-hour period, that's a good time to temper.
So we figure, you know, the next day, if she farrowed Monday, let's check her Tuesday, because it's normal for a sow's temperature to rise as she's farrowing. So that'll give us a good idea, you know, the next day she should be back to normal if she doesn't have anything going on. And it's just so important to treat that promptly, because you can't wait till tomorrow. It's not going to happen. She'll be suffering.
You've been listening to the conclusion of our Day One Pig Care discussion on The Squeal, featuring Thomas Livestock's Steve Horton and Kendall Wager and Pedro Mosquero from PIC. You're welcome to share these podcasts widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.